There are a number of known crystal skulls in existence, but of these, the Mitchell Hedges skull is unique in its extraordinary craftsmanship. It has been studied by both scientists and physicists with no conclusive proof as to how old it is or even how it could possibly have been crafted from a single large crystal. Excerpt from MitchellHedges.com. My name is Becca Reiswig, and you're listening to So That's What Happened, a podcast where I share some of my favorite stories. History is full of engaging and fascinating topics, whether we go back to the dawn of time or only a few years ago. So settle in as we explore one of my favorites. Today we're going to be delving into a topic that's a bit more surreal than what I usually cover. Depending on who you choose to believe, it's either a proven hoax or an artifact of supernatural or perhaps even alien design. Today we are going to take a look at Mitchell Hedges' crystal skull. This podcast being what it is, I'll be concentrating more on the proven facts around Mitchell Hedges' discovery and why the world of academia has mostly dismissed it as a fake. There are, of course, many claims out there about the power of crystals and quartz in particular. My aim here is not to prove or disprove those claims. I am speaking only in reference to the crystal skull found by Mitchell Hedges. While many believe it was faked, many others believe that crystal skulls are genuine on some level. Today, I'll merely be presenting you with the story and some of the scientific evidence used to discredit the find. In the end, it's up to you what you believe. Let's start with a brief look at the phenomena of crystal skulls. They did not originate with Mitchell Hedges' discovery in the first half of the 1900s. In fact, these skulls were popping up in private collections and museums as early as the 1870s. So, why the popularity? Well, a lot of that can be attributed to the fascination around archaeology of less civilized regions of the world, or at least that was the way it was viewed by the collectors. You see, through most of the 1800s and into the early 1900s, the British Empire was at its height of power. The empire stretched across the Atlantic to Canada and down into Africa, Asia, and the Pacific, including India, South Africa, Egypt, Australia, and New Zealand. There was demand for treasures and trinkets from these faraway places in England. Archaeologists of the time were often equal parts academics and grave robbers. The plunder of Egypt's history and culture, and its distillation into something for the nobility and upper class to gawk at, could easily be its own story several times over. It was a competitive market, and sellers were always on the lookout for something new and different. One of the ways explorers provided that was in the trade of pre-Columbian artifacts, with Aztec and Mayan amongst the most popular. When there weren't many finds to be sold, less scrupulous individuals made them. Amongst these manufactured artifacts were the crystal skulls. Interestingly, despite most academics agreeing that the skulls are fakes, collections can still be found in museums today, including one in the Smithsonian's Natural History Museum. So what makes so many people so sure that these skulls are not important archaeological finds? In the Smithsonian Magazine article, Why the Smithsonian Has a Fake Crystal Skull by Owen Edwards, anthropologist Jane McLaren Walsh of the Smithsonian National Museum of Natural History is quoted on the subject. After Mexican independence, a lot of outsiders started coming into the country and collecting historic pieces for museums. The collectors created a demand, and local artisans then created a supply. Some of the things sold to these foreigners may not have been made to intentionally deceive, but certain dealers claimed that they were ancient. In reference to the crystal skull housed at the Smithsonian, the article says, she took it to London's British Museum, whose collections contained two similar skulls. Margaret Sachs, a materials expert there, used scanning electron microscopy to study tool marks on the skulls. In each case, she noted that modern tools and abrasives had been employed. This corroborated tests done on similar crystal skulls in the British Museum in London and Paris's Quai Branly. The next thing to look at would be, who is Mitchell Hedges? Frederick Albert Mitchell Hedges was born in London on October 22, 1982. He worked for a time at his father's stockbroking company, but longed for adventure. In 1906, following a trip to Canada, he married Lillian Clark, and the two later adopted Anna Mitchell Hedges. Mitchell Hedges became something of a famous adventurer. He wrote books and articles on his travels and even had a Sunday radio show out of New York City in the 1930s where he told listeners of his expeditions, including harrowing escapes from near-death experiences and of discovering hidden tribes or cities, most of which had already been known to academia. By all reports, if you combined Indiana Jones and P.T. Barnum, you'd likely end up with Mitchell Hedges. So, what about his crystal skull? I started my research dive with the official website, MitchellHedges.com, but found the site to be rather lacking in details with a broken link to the lab test page. A favorite site of mine, All That Is Interesting, gives the claimed origins of the skull as: in 1924, British adventurer Frederick Mitchell Hedges led an expedition to Lubantan, an ancient Mayan city deep within the Yucatan jungle in modern-day Belize. There, inside a Mayan pyramid, his adopted daughter, Anna, found one of the most mysterious objects in archaeology, a crystal skull fashioned out of a single solid piece of clear quartz. In early editions of his memoir, Danger, My Ally, Mitchell Hedges called his crystal skull the Skull of Doom, because it had caused serious illness and even death in those who mocked it. Oddly, he also claims that, "how it came into my possession, I have reason for not revealing." If nothing else, the man knew how to tell a story. This mystifying discovery certainly garnered interest during Mitchell Hedges' life, but it wasn't until after his death in 59 that the story took on a life of its own. His adopted daughter Anna struck out on a tour of the world, speaking about the discovery of the skull and its purported powers. The skull was put under several tests after Anna became its caretaker. In the 1970s, the art restorer Frank Dorland claimed that it was carved in such a way that went against the grain of the crystal, so to speak, and without the use of metal tools. He dated it as up to 12,000 years old. Hewlett-Packard's crystal laboratories in Santa Clara, California, found that the skull was made from one piece of crystal, though they made no claims as to how it was carved or its age. Anna eventually began denying requests for further testing. After her death in 2007, the skull fell into her husband Bill Hammond's hands. This brings us back to Jane McLaren Walsh of the Smithsonian. In 2007, and again in 2008, Hammond allowed the Smithsonian to run tests on the skull for the documentary Legend of the Crystal Skull. Walsh's examinations using modern equipment showed that the skull had been carved with a high-speed, hard metal rotary tool coated with a hard abrasive, such as diamond. This was a method that would not have been used by the pre-Columbian or older civilizations. Based on these findings, Walsh posited that the skull was carved in the 1930s, and was perhaps based on the skull found in the British Museum. Additionally, the National Geographic documentary, The Truth Behind Crystal Skulls, from 2011, had forensic artist Gloria Noose create a facial reconstruction based on the Mitchell Hedges crystal skull. She found clear markers to identify the design of the skull to be based on that of a European woman. This suggests that the skull was a replica of a real skull, likely done in Europe. Of course, there are those who staunchly believe that the skull is ancient, or perhaps even not of this world, that it does, in fact, contain mystical properties, be they destructive or cleansing. For them, the official story is a cover-up, an attempt to conceal the truth of something that the general populace may not be prepared to accept. For me, I find it difficult to cast aside the scientific findings, but still find myself inclined to wonder, what if? So that's what happened. We as a people are always hungry for tales of adventure and mystery, and while there is plenty of that to be found in history, we must be careful that we do not allow fiction too great a foothold in reality. Conversely, I believe it is just as important to allow for a bit of the unexplained in our day-to-day lives. If you'd like to learn more, I'd suggest allthatisinteresting.com's article, "These Infamous Crystal Skulls Aren't from Aztecs or Aliens, but Just Victorian Hoax Artists," by Daniel Rennie, and smithsonianmag.com's "Why the Smithsonian Has a Fake Crystal Skull," by Owen Edwards. Additionally, I enjoyed the documentaries Legend of the Crystal Skull by the Smithsonian and National Geographic's The Truth Behind Crystal Skulls. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider rating and reviewing it, as well as subscribing and sharing. If you'd like to directly help me, you can head over to patreon.com/sothatswhathappened or click the link in the show notes. If you have any topics you'd like to hear me cover, or questions or comments about this or past stories, you can send an email to sothatswhathappenedpodcast@gmail.com. You can also find me over on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook as STWH Podcast. However, many still refuse to acknowledge that the Skulls are without ancient origins. According to books written by alternative theorists, Shannara and Max the Crystal Skull were both tested at the British Museum as well. It is alleged that Walsh was asked for the results of the scientific tests on Shannara and Max and responded with, "No comment." Daniel Rennie.